Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining together with everyone who is here to worship God. We do, as Doug mentioned in our reading and announcements, hope that we will worship God in spirit and in truth this morning. And if you find anything that you have questions regarding, we'd love to open scriptures with you and study with you. We are thankful for your presence and hope that this is an uplifting time where we can come closer to God. We're looking at the first page in the New Testament today, Matthew chapter 1. The title for this morning's lesson is Joseph, the Father of Jesus. Joseph, the Father of Jesus. Many worthy saints have played important, but sometimes regarded as minor roles in the work of God, and Joseph of Nazareth did not play as significant a place as others did, but Joseph's task was nonetheless important. As a father myself of two children, I can tell you that there is an immense strain upon fathers to do what is right and to guide their children in the way that is right. It is indeed important to be patient, as Phelan has mentioned, and he's been wrestling with five girls the past few days, so he would know. It's indeed important to be patient, but imagine being tasked with being the father of Jesus. Do keep in mind that although God the Father was and is Father to Jesus, the Scriptures do affirm that Joseph was indeed considered the earthly father of Jesus, with no caveats. The language that is used is of a father, particularly as we read, Doug read in chapter 2 of Luke 2 verses 41 through 52, numerous times you have both Luke mentioning that Joseph is Jesus' father, as well as Mary mentioning that Joseph is Jesus' father. And so the text does specify that Jesus' father, earthly father, was Joseph. And since this is Father's Day, I want to take a look at this oft-overlooked character of the Bible and the significance that he can provide to us by way of example. And so we have 4 points this morning in our lesson, Joseph, the Father of Jesus. And the first point is simply this. Joseph was a man of righteousness. He was a man of righteousness. Oh, if we had many righteous fathers in our world, how the world would be different. He was a righteous man and a righteous father. We read in Matthew chapter 1, in verses 18 and 19. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother, Mary, had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. That's an incredible slogan to be known by, a righteous man. Not many people get that designation in the Scriptures, but this man does. And even though, again, he's only really briefly mentioned in passing in the gospel narratives, and then at a certain point, he just completely drops off. He was a man of righteousness. That was his legacy. And certainly fathers, those who are fathers here, that needs to be our legacy as well. If nothing else, we need to be known as men of righteousness. And mothers and wives, please encourage us and hold us to that. Expect of us to be righteous examples. Encourage us to be righteous examples. And when we fall short, correct us in the way that we need to be corrected. When we come across this text, this opening few lines of the conception and birth of Jesus, we find out that Joseph discovers this situation. And I don't know about you, but you can almost feel, you can almost sense, it's palpable, the pain in Joseph's entire being when Mary's condition was known. After all, how do women get pregnant? And he had not slept with her. Since Mary knew the supernatural cause for her pregnancy, it would be reasonable to conclude that she would have repeated to Joseph what the angel had told her about this ensuing pregnancy. But would he have believed it? Why should he have believed her? I mean, the evidence overwhelmingly would have spoken against this situation. That was exceedingly atypical, to say the least. Would you have believed her? if you were in his situation. Now Mary, she really could only wait on vindication from God. God had to step in and say, Joseph, this is a different situation than is typical. Only a communication, only a revelation from God could remove all the questions and provide Joseph with assurance for the hard days to follow. And he was a righteous man. But come on, what did the evidence suggest? So what would Joseph do? And he is a true Israelite. Joseph, as a true Israelite, was not to consummate the marriage under the circumstances as he saw them. Only two courses lay before him. He could make her a public example by charging her with adultery, as was the inescapable conclusion of what her situation required. Whatever penalty the Jews would have been able to give to Mary, given the Roman presence, is a subject of debate. Under the law of Moses, she could have been stoned for adultery. But we don't know if they could go that far. We do know that whatever they could inflict on her would have been unpleasant. And Joseph, being a righteous man, not desiring to put her to shame, sought to keep the secret. He sought to avoid making her a public example, making her an object of ridicule. And so what Matthew does on this first page of our New Testament is he calls Joseph a righteous man. He says he was a righteous man. That would signify one who does not judge with prejudice or partiality. He cannot accuse her because either way he leans, he would be partial. If he gave Mary the biggest benefit of the doubt ever given in the history of the world, he would be biased because he would lean in her direction. If he chose an angry, emotional response of condemnation, I'll be honest, that's probably the first place I would go. He would also have been biased. But he was a righteous man. Joseph's choice here would demonstrate that he was a man of kindness and gentleness. And fathers, again, we may be focused more on the disciplinary side of things as a rule, but we can also be kind and we can also be gentle. We may be strong buffaloes that deal with all kinds of challenges that get thrown at us, and we have to be strong for our families, but we can also be gentle, and we can also be meek, and we can also be kind. And just because that we have the opportunity to do something, does not mean that that is always the most advantageous thing that we can do, or the most helpful, or the most kind thing that we can do. The law of Moses allowed a husband to make a separation based on his perception of, as the Old Testament deems it, an indecency. Well, that's pretty broad language. In Deuteronomy 24 and verse 1, it makes that suggestion. It says he could write her a certificate of divorce, he could separate her, he could send her away based on the perception of indecency. There was something in the law of Moses that would demonstrate whether she had actually committed an indecency or not. In the book of Numbers, we find that. But that determination stood out clearly to Joseph. But his noble character sought to shield her. And men, we are shields. We take the bullets for our family. We take the arrows for our family. We are built that way. He was like, unlike many of our day, who would take advantage of any opportunity to step over somebody, to make a public example of them, to choose the easy course, to expose to full view all the sin, real or imagined, that they can detect in others so that they can advance themselves. Joseph was a man of righteousness, and that made him a good father of Jesus. Joseph was also a man of piety. We don't use that word a whole lot anymore. He was a holy man. He was a devout man. In Matthew 1 and verse 20 it says, "But when he had considered this, to send her away secretly, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. So start seeing this revelation. Remember, this is an opportunity, a golden opportunity for God to vindicate Mary, so that Joseph doesn't have to be challenged in this incredibly, highly incredibly difficult way. He's a man of piety. God chooses to speak to him. Joseph thought on these things. He didn't want to be rash. He didn't want to jump the gun. He did not want to act hastily. The assurance he could scarcely have hoped for is given to him. It's conveyed to him. This is certainly the most stupendous fact in history that a man has ever had to face. The message given is directly related to Joseph's problem, to Old Testament scriptures, and to God's plan for human redemption. That's the occasion for Joseph to show himself a true son of David in the faith. This angel begins this revelation of God, begins to explain and clarify things. And Joseph is given this opportunity to demonstrate whether he's going to be a person of faith or a reactionary. How often in life do all the known facts suggest a conclusion that is false? Mary was innocent, but she could not prove it. Even a righteous man, even a pious man, can be mistaken, given an unimaginable occasion. And so Joseph, here, is instructed to proceed with the marriage, because they were betrothed to one another. Joseph would now be in no way compromising his conscience. He would be in no way compromising or condoning sin. He would not be risking his own future happiness or doing anything doubtful. God has revealed and clarified the situation. God's word was enough for Joseph to step up and to accept this incredible responsibility that was placed not only on Mary, as we often discuss, but also on him. He's also the one that has to clean Jesus as he's a baby. He's also the one that has to challenge Jesus and train Jesus and give him an occupation. Imagine giving the task of disciplining and training up the Son of God. Joseph was pious and he was righteous. Joseph was also an obedient man. As we continue on with this revelation from the angel, says in verse 21, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary as his wife. It's very easy just to read right past that. He did all that the angel of the Lord instructed him to do. That's an incredible statement. He was a man of obedience. With all his doubts resolved and his mind at rest, Joseph could no longer hesitate. His duty required an immediate marriage, which would give Mary a good name and save the child from the reproach of an illegitimate birth. And even though Joseph does that, people will still make that accusation. But at least he does what he can to shield his family. Far beyond all earthly joys of this couple, Mary and Joseph, was the supreme moral satisfaction of being submissive to God's will and of being permitted to become guardians of God's Son, the Messiah. Imagine again the weight of that responsibility. And so Joseph's example is worthy of our imitation. He obeyed, but he didn't just obey, he obeyed speedily. He obeyed cheerfully. He obeyed without dispute. You don't see a back and forth with the angel and Joseph. He simply did. Joseph was conscientious in all that he did. If all men were as willing to take directions from God, what a great change would occur in this world. What changes would occur in fatherhood? Joseph's faith was shown in his immediate obedience, because faith is perfected by obedience. He was a righteous man, he was a pious man, he was an obedient man, and last of all, he was a man of self-discipline. If there was ever an example of somebody who was disciplined, it would be Joseph. Verse 25, picking up, says, Joseph kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Joseph did not enter into marital relations with Mary until after the birth of Jesus. Of course, in the Bible, when we see this language, know her, sometimes you got an older translation that uses that. That's a euphemism. That's a euphemism for that marital relationship, that sexual union that would take place. And since the birth of Jesus was to fulfill prophecy of a virgin birth, Joseph disciplined himself sexually. In our day, we have people claiming sexual license in every area. We have people claiming the right for full sexual expression and are denying all restraints on sexual activity. Joseph is a worthy example to oppose that. He did it without marching in a parade celebrating his choice. He did it through denial, through discipline, through self-control, through virtue. And Joseph and Mary show that men and women can control themselves in order to comply with God's will. And much is said here, I'll just make one last point about this. Much is said here about this supposed perpetual virginity of Mary. Many people believe that. Roman Catholics, for instance, claim that Mary remained a virgin all her life. Her virginity before the birth of Jesus is true Bible teaching. It specifies that here in Matthew 1. However, her virginity after his birth is superstition, and it is clearly opposed to Bible teaching. The text here says, until. They did not have relations until she had brought forth a son. This implies the relationship of Joseph to Mary after the birth was that of any normal husband and wife. How else could other sons and daughters of Mary be born? Matthew 13, verses 55 and 56 mention four brothers of Jesus, and it uses the term sisters, plural. There are at least seven children in Jesus' family. I have a hard time with two kids. Imagine seven kids, and one of those is the Son of God. Now imagine on top of that, you have four brothers who don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Imagine dealing with that dynamic. Imagine being the head of that family. Now, virginity, it's not elevated in the New Testament as being more holy than marriage. It's never given that designation. However, there are a few places that do say that on occasion, it may provide more flexibility. That's different than a higher level of holiness. To suppose that Mary remained a virgin is to suggest that she defrauded Joseph. And if she defrauded Joseph, how could she be, as people would say, the mother of God, the sinless mother of God? That would be contrary to God's law. And so why would anyone pretend the marriage bed would in some way defile God, when the New Testament specifically says that the marital bed is to be held in honor? Joseph was a righteous man. Joseph was a pious man. He was an obedient man. And he was an incredibly self-disciplined man. He was, in many ways, the ideal father. He was, in many ways, an object worthy of our imitation. Joseph was a great man in his role as servant to God and as father of the Lord Jesus. And we see his character as one who is willing to obey God at all costs, even when that would create all kinds of challenges for him. Are you as willing to obey as Joseph? Are you as willing to take the word of God, which tells us about the problem of sin and how Jesus came to resolve that problem, and obey it? Are you willing to place your faith in Jesus the Christ? Because only He can save your soul. If you want your soul saved, we'd love to share with you how. All together we stand and sing.